I'll read John 8:12 again, because it really is the key to the entire passage, even though the passage goes beyond verse 12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light. When you were little, more than likely, you were afraid of the dark. I was. I went through a period even as a young teenager when I had a horrible time with bad dreams, and I think I was seeing all the wrong kind of movies, and I was terrified of the dark for a time. But now I love the dark. I love sleeping in the dark, and the darker the better. I like to have it pitch black because I don't have to see anything. I can feel my way to the bathroom. I don't have to work. I don't have to read. I don't have to drive. But for all those other things, we do need light. I believe that need for light is given to us by God to help us to see a bigger lesson, that Jesus is this light. He's called himself bread. He's called himself water. And now he turns to the light. Simple things that we all know. Light appears 50 times in the New Testament, in the Gospels alone, 16 times in John. But when we're talking about light, where it's a larger than simply the light from the sunshine, because evil is dark and sin is dark. We see it in John 3. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. It's universal. When we sin, we hide it, cover it up, keep it in the dark. We lie about it, excuse it, and ignore it. Everybody does. I have never known an exception. So now here comes Jesus. Why does the world want to kill him so? Because the world is dark. It is that darkness that is our focus this morning. The devil is desperate in taking down the light. John doesn't mention the light again until later. So we won't deal with light specifically. We're going to deal to the response to that light, because his enemies are out to get him. What we see in our passage is the dark. John 1, in him was life, and life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Various translations have a different word there for comprehend. Literally, the word is take it down. It can be translated to destroy it, to understand it, but the darkness can't take it down. The darkness can't handle the light. 2 Corinthians 4, in whose case the God of this world, God little g, because we're talking about the devil, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. How are they blinded by the enemy? We will look at three ways that it's done this morning, because darkness is our focus. I'll call it three characteristics of darkness. What does it do to keep people in the dark? How has the enemy blinded the minds of the unbelieving? We can also use it. We can turn it around. We can use it in evangelism. If we know what the enemy is doing here, we can counter it. I'll call it evangelism 101. What do we know about darkness? How does it work? How do we fight against it? Let's begin it with a prayer. Father, open us up to understand this passage of Scripture and these characteristics of darkness. What the darkness is doing with regard to Jesus, who is the light. Guide us and direct us. Teach us of the plans and the schemes of the enemy. And open us up to fight him more effectively. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, they don't know where Jesus comes from. Darkness basically denies heaven. or at least it denies the fact that Jesus came from heaven. Verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said to him, this is after his saying, I am the light. They said to him, you are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness isn't true. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. Drop down to verse 18. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And so they were saying to him, well, where's your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. And they're talking to him because they know who his Father is. They know his Father was Joseph. And even on top of that, they know, in fact, that Joseph wasn't his father, humanly speaking. And everybody knew it. His own brothers knew it. That Joseph was not his father. So they're going to make fun of him all the time about this father business because they don't know where he's coming from. But where Jesus is from is critical. Most people, most Americans believe that Jesus was a man, maybe a good man, maybe some kind of a prophet, significant religious figure, but still just a man. We need to be able to show that Jesus came from heaven. He comes from God because he is God in the flesh. But if he is just from the world, then he's no different than any other religious leader. And Christianity is no different from any other religion. Take it or leave it. It's just one among many. So where he comes from is critical. They think that at the best he came from Nazareth in Galilee. Back up with me to chapter 7 of John, verse 26. And look, he is speaking publicly, and they are saying, yeah, they are saying nothing about, nothing to him. The rulers do not really know that this is the Christ, do they? However, we know where this man is from. But whenever the Christ may come, no one knows where he is from. That is, they know where he's coming from. They know that he's from Galilee. Drop down to verse 41, still John 7. Others were saying, this is the Christ. Still others were saying, surely the Christ is not going to come from Galilee, is he? So all they know of where he comes from is human. All they know is that he comes from Nazareth, which is in the region to the north of Israel called Galilee. But we know where he comes from. We have scripture to tell us where he comes from. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And then verse 14, who's the Word? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is that Jesus. Where he comes from is critical. He entered at that time into time. But he has always been God, and he came from heaven. And that is critical. But they don't know that. They don't know where he comes from. They are the darkness, and they have no clue. And Satan's plan is to keep the world from knowing where he's from. I've talked to people and argued with people in liberal churches that I say church because they're Christian only in name only and not in substance. And I'm not pointing to any churches here. I'm referencing one in particular in Lincoln where I've had numerous conversations because they will argue. Members of that congregation, they will argue two things. First, they'll say that Jesus is not God. That he doesn't say that he's God in Scripture. They will argue that. So he didn't come from heaven. And again, he may have been a good man, but not God. And he doesn't come from heaven. They'll say also that the Bible is not necessarily true, at least not the Word of God. It may contain the Word of God, they'll give you, But you can't know for sure what is true and what isn't. So if I would say that God gave Israel that land over there, which they reside right now, they would say, not so sure about that. In fact, I think most millennials think that Israel stole that land from the Palestinians in 1947 because they're so lax on history. Or if you say that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. They will say that would definitely not be true because they've got to be much more inclusive to all ways. And they would try to argue that all ways lead to the one way, whatever in the world that one way is. And it's all based on where he comes from. And the first characteristic of this darkness is they don't know where he's coming from. Or they will argue he most definitely didn't come from heaven, he's from earth. Number two, we're looking at characteristics of darkness because it is the response to Jesus when he stands up and says, I'm the light. You come to me, you'll never walk in darkness. You'll have the light of life. And it's their response to that. This is the darkness response. Second, this world is headed toward death. But darkness denies death. Verse 21. He said therefore again to them, I go away and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Where I am going, you cannot come. Well, therefore the Jews were saying, well, surely he'll not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I'm going, you can't come. And he was saying to them, you are from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And I said, therefore, to you that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Boy, that's a fight starter. Because it talks about a day of judgment. But the enemy wants to convince you he's headed in the right direction. The world is moving just fine. Genesis chapter 3, where the serpent is talking to Eve. And Eve is telling the serpent that God said that we can't eat from this tree or we'll surely die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In Isaiah chapter 14, it has a reference to Satan, angel of light. But he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That's the enemy. And darkness is being used by the enemy because he's trying to turn you away from the light. And he knows that's Jesus. But he doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to know where he comes from. And he doesn't want you to know that there is death at the end of this road. Now, it's obvious, and every funeral should be a reminder by whoever preaches it. This is a wake-up call, people, because in this box that is up front here, or maybe an urn, is a dead body. Everybody dies. And after that, there is either life eternal in Jesus Christ, or it is death eternal away from God. Because death means separation. The physical part's obvious. It is a separation of us from our body. But the other is not so obvious, and the devil doesn't want you to know it. He doesn't want you to know that there is a death and a separation from God. That is a characteristic of darkness. He wants you to think that, well, this is all there is. I mean, you die here, everything just quits. There's nothing after this. But the Bible is very, very clear that there is an after this, either with God or without God. And you do not want to be part of that without God that is thrown into the lake of fire where there is suffering and outer darkness and punishment forever and ever and ever and ever. And this world is headed toward death if it doesn't know God. That's characteristic number two of darkness. But we have a third. Light reveals truth. Verse 25. And so they were saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak to you and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true. And the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world." They didn't realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he's not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. Light reveals truth. But they don't like the light. And in John 8, verse 32, and this is where we'll start it again next week, and we'll look more at the light rather than the darkness. In verse 32 of John 8, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because coming to that light and coming to that truth reveals more truth." And they are locked in their darkness. And that is why they keep saying, "Well, who are you?" Because they're still in the darkness and they refuse the light. And until they realize their darkness, and we know a lot of people that are in this fix, and some of them may be family members and co-workers and good friends. They're in darkness and they just don't know it. And their lack of desire for the truth keeps them away from the light. But God will judge that error. Romans 1. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And we see this world worshiping itself, its own understanding, its own knowledge, its own history, its own beginnings. And everything has to be looked at apart from God. Because God is light. And that messes up everything. And they don't like the light. Worship of self. We've got to insist that the Bible is true. It is critical that we know that this is the Word of God. And there are so many that argue it and argue against it, make up excuses for it, and says, "Well, there were five different authors to the books of Moses rather than just one Moses." And they'll say, "Well, Isaiah was done by two different authors." And well, you can't really trust it because it was written so many years after it. And they'll come up with excuse and excuse and excuse of why not to trust this book. It tells us where Jesus is from. It tells us that there is death and a separation from God forever. They don't want to see it. And it tells us, too, that light reveals even more truth. John 17, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And in verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth, because your word is truth." And that's why we teach the Bible. Because sanctify means to make different, to change people, to set apart unto the things of God. And we do it with the Bible. The Bible is that source of truth. John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And that light reveals truth. We looked at one of these two verses earlier this morning in John 3:20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But then there's verse 21. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. That's us that know the light. That's us that we're not afraid of the light. We have that natural tendency to cover up the flaws. And we don't want people to see who we really are. I've said so many times, and I think I still believe it, that if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. If you really knew me. So I keep my distance a little bit. And yeah, and there are a few others that might really know. I'm not sure. I get invited to your homes, and I act like a real person. And I cringe. My wife cringes. She says, I don't know that they really want to know you that well. But we don't have to be afraid to come into the light. We don't have to be. Because if we're a church that preaches grace, then we accept one another unconditionally. And we accept the flaws. And we let people come in that definitely have flaws. And we don't have to run away from them. There is that risk that if somebody sees your flaw, then, oh man, I don't want to hang around that person. I know Alfred really well. You sure you want to hang around that guy? Yeah. Yes, you do. But we all have it. But you see, this verse is stating that. He who practices the truth, we come to the light. Because the light reveals even more truth. We're looking at characteristics of darkness. We're looking at three of them, basically. The darkness does not know where Jesus is from. So basically, they deny heaven. Well, they at least deny that Jesus came from heaven. And the darkness tells us lies about death. You don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about when you die. Well, I say, man, they better if they don't know God. If we do know Jesus Christ, we got no fear of death. And as we get older, that we can fear it even less because we're getting closer and closer and closer by the day. I don't have to be afraid of death. I don't have to be afraid of a grandma that may be dying from surgery. Don't have to be afraid. Because I know that person knows Jesus Christ. And if they don't, they need to. The light, the darkness runs away from the light. It runs away from truth, and it denies the truth. They will argue that there is no God, or you can't know if there is a God. That's agnosticism. They will argue that all ways lead to the one way, or if there is a God, then all the ways are going to eventually get there anyway. And they will argue that there is no absolute one way. And we would say there is. It's why we proclaim exactly the opposites. We know where Jesus comes from. That he comes from heaven. He comes from heaven. He comes from eternity. He's always been with God because he is God. And we know that there is a judgment day when darkness is thrown into the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. And we know that no one comes to the Father but through the truth, who is Jesus. Jesus paid the penalty. The penalty for sin is death, and we've all sinned. Jesus paid it. Pure and simple. But he's the only one that ever paid for sin. No other religious leader ever paid for our sins. Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad, Confucius, none of those people ever claimed to have died for anybody's sins, but Jesus did. And then it brings us to the conclusion to this section at verse 30. As he spoke these things, many did come to believe in him. So he is bringing about faith. But believe what? Well, believe that Jesus came from God and is God in the flesh. Believe what? That there is a life after death, with God or without God. And believe what? Believe in the light and come to the light because there is only one way to God. Three characteristics of darkness. It's their response to Jesus' statement that he is the light. Let's close with a prayer. Father, open us up. Turn the lights on in each of our hearts. If there's anyone here that is still in the darkness and has never placed their faith in Jesus, who paid it all, Lord God, right now is the first day of the rest of their life that they'll believe and know that Jesus died for them. He died for their sins, that he is the light. And we don't want to be in darkness. Help them to see the light. And help us to be able to share simple truths like these with people that we know are in darkness. And there is death at the end of that road. Help us to share. Give us the strength, the opportunities, the power. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.